I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Got a lot to get to in the next 30 minutes, including real or fake, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, and Don't Do This is ahead. Have a talking head on television. And I really hope I never become the person who gets mad for no reason just because you're getting older and don't understand something.
I mean, I do that. I feel like that's when the incredible boomer comes out sometimes, but not about things like this, I don't think.
That's we got that coming up for sure. We'll talk more Padres baseball, more on the Xander Bogaerts injury, and missing whatever it is going to be a significant amount of time that he's out. He's hoping 2 months. I think realistically, it's probably more like 3 plus some rehab. So we may not see Xander again until the last month of the season or so for the San Diego Padres. I guess you hope that they're playing good baseball, they're in playoff contention, and he provides a shot in the arm down the stretch.
No pun intended.
Is he going to be, when he comes back, will he be Xander? Will he be struggling again? We don't know. It's certainly not easy to not play for 2 or 3 months and then just pick it right up in a pennant race, but that's probably what they're going to ask Xander Bogaerts to do later this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they pay him for, and getting him back at that time, if he can come in and be even close to what he's been in his career, nice little pickup there for the home stretch.
What we pay Paul Reindl for
is
fairly unique in terms of jobs. He's got the normal radio producer type duties, running our board, and
he does have duties,
printing out our show rundowns and making sure all the commercials play every day, helping set up the guests. He does a great job at all of that, but really what we pay him for is fun with audio.
Correct.
And he's the best
in the best
I think
best
I've
best.
Ever seen at having fun with audio. And yesterday, Woods, you brought to the table some incredible audio of a guy from the 1980s,
86,
who put together a 40-plus minute VHS video that you could rent. Go and get it, order it on,
order it through the mail.
Through the mail.
There's no
Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Get it sent
not even
to you,
there, I don't think.
And he would be your friend on TV.
Hi. I'm Sam, and basically I'm here because I want to be your friend.
It's so creepy.
It's just a guy in chair, like just one-on-one with a camera in his house.
And the gist of it is, if you're lonely, he'll be your friend, and you talk to him through the screen, and he pretends that he can talk to
like
you as well.
Like, he got weird. Like,
hot diggity dog.
I'd rather have no friends.
I don't think cringy was an expression back in the 80s,
right.
But if it was, this would apply.
It's creepy, cringy, all of it. And so we played it yesterday, and I mean, some people got
it. What's the noise he makes? It's even worse. He just likes to make that noise.
Yeah, he said, do you guys like to make noises like this? And so he's a very odd guy, but he did this thing, and it's out there, and 43 minutes long. I'm going to listen to it in its entirety, finally, this weekend, now that I've got some time on my hands, but somebody in
my sister's dates would come to the house. They'd knock on the door. I'd run downstairs and be excited to greet them. And I'd open the door, and they'd say, "Hi, is Mary there?" And I'd go, "No, no, no, no."
Like, he's doing this video to be your friend.
Right.
If anybody did that in front of me, I don't want to be your
also,
friend.
Also, I don't think I want to date Mary after that at all. Like, if that's her bloodline.
Mary had trouble getting a second date.
And I just run upstairs after,
He's so weird. It's so weird. It's like 43 minutes of that weirdness. Paulie watched more. He said it gets even weirder.
It gets so much more weird.
So,
holy crap.
Somebody in the chat yesterday said, be great to hear Carving Guy and this guy have a conversation. And Paulie said, no problem.
Hi.
Good evening.
Basically, I'm here because I want to be your friend.
All right.
I've been looking forward to this moment for quite some time.
Well, that's great. Did you catch a game last night?
I don't know. I'm out of work right now. I'm between jobs, let's put it that way. And I've done a lot of interesting jobs, though, actually, in my time.
All right.
I've been a waiter and a bartender. Have you ever done that by any chance? You know, worked in a restaurant?
Actually.
Have you tried the lasagna? It's my favorite.
Overall, it was all right, yeah.
Well, that's great.
My sister used to invite people over just to play with my nose and to bite my nose. Would you like to bite my nose?
Would that be all right?
Oh, boy.
You can always come back up for more.
I'm in a really good mood, and I hope you're feeling good, too.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it still hot out there?
Hot diggity dog.
Have you decided what dessert you're going to have?
How could I forget?
Well, that's great.
All right, you're in a hurry, I know. So it's been great, and take care. We'll see you around.
All right.
Yeah. So long, friend. Bye.
I could listen to it all day. I could listen to it all day long. I need a long form. Bob Dylan asked 18 minutes.
So, the only problem with that was the carving guy video. The full video was only about 10 minutes.
I know.
He only says like 7 or 8 different things.
Just his catchphrases.
Just the catchphrases. Yeah. It's mostly the narrator explaining on your shift duties, this is how you wash the knife. So there wasn't a whole lot of carving. I had 43 minutes of the other lunatic to work with.
I love it so much. I could listen to it all day. Man.
Hi.
Good evening.
Those two together, man. What I wouldn't do to get those guys in a room.
Those two just sitting at a bar and the bartender going, this is the two weirdest people in the world.
I have actual tears, man. Holy cow, I love it so much. I love both of their weird voices. It just
should we do it one more time?
Yes. Yeah. It just murders me.
Hi.
Good evening.
Basically, I'm here because I want to be your friend.
All right.
I've been looking forward to this moment for quite some time.
Well, that's great. Did you catch a game last night?
I don't know. I'm out of work right now. I'm between jobs. Let's put it that way. And I've done a lot of interesting jobs, though, actually, in my time.
All right.
I've been a waiter and a bartender. Have you ever done that by any chance? You know, worked in a restaurant?
Have you tried the lasagna? It's my favorite.
Overall, it was all right, yeah.
Well, that's great.
My sister used to invite people over that's just to play weird. With my nose.
What?
And to bite my nose. Would you like to bite my nose?
Would that be all right?
Oh, boy.
You can always come back up for more.
I'm in a really good mood, and I hope you're feeling good, too.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it still hot out there?
Hot diggity dog.
Have you decided what dessert you're going to have?
How could I forget?
Well, that's great.
All right, you're in a hurry, I know. So,
holy crap.
It's been great, and take care. I'll see you around.
All right.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
So long, friend.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
That part with the nose, we didn't play that.
We did not play that. That was new to me. I did not hear that.
He starts talking about how he's got a giant nose, and he starts like squishing it and moving it around. He goes, can you do this? And he's like moving his nose. He goes, you know what else I love? And he starts rubbing his nose. He goes, nose grease. I love nose grease. My sister used to have her friends come up to me and bite my nose. And he's getting right up to the camera. He goes, do you want to bite my nose?
Oh.
It was so – I was like, what in the F?
What is happening?
So, Woods, you're going to Joshua Tree.
Mm-hmm.
I won't incriminate you, but anything that you may be partaking in today, just do me a favor.
Just some good vibes.
That's take it. Those good vibes. Smoke those good vibes. Fire up this 43-minute rent-a-friend video. Holy hell.
I'm just going to take notes on it. That is fantastic stuff, Paulie. Really, really well played.
Hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity dog. Nose grease.
Worried about nose grease now.
He needs to be arrested.
Need a contestant for Real or Fake. If you want to call in right now, 833-288-0973. Still need to qualify more people for our monthly getaway to the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two nights, two tickets to Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June 22nd. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million in room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. And while everybody calls in, why don't we play the intro and get started?
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
I just told you what you can win today, and it looks like we got David calling in. David, are you there?
I'm there. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You're our contestant today on Real or Fake, which all you need to do is get 4 out of 7 correct, and we will put you into our grand prize drawing. And you don't even have to beat Woods. In fact, he can help you today.
Right.
I would hope he can help you on this one, because here's what your category is. With Woods headed to Joshua Tree after the show, thought this would be a good chance to quiz everyone on California's national parks, of which Joshua Tree is one. So today on Real or Fake, I'll give you a name. You tell me if it's a real national park in the state of California or a fake. In this case, it'll be a national park in like Colorado or Utah. So you don't know California parks. How do you think you're going to do here, David?
Well, I don't know.
All right.
My geography is not that good.
All right, here we go. Well, maybe Woods can help you. Round number one, real or fake California national park. Mesa Verde National Park.
I'll say real.
That one is in Colorado, unfortunately. So 0-for-1. That's okay. We got plenty of time left. You just need 4 correct. 6 more chances. All right, round number 2. Kings Canyon National Park.
I know that's a park, but where exactly now? It's the, what do you want to help me?
I'm going to say real.
He's
sounds very
real.
Kings Canyon.
Yeah, I mean, they're all real. It's just whether they're in California or not. All right, David, you say real?
I'm going with them, yeah.
All right. That is correct. That one is in California. All right, that's 1 correct. Let's go to round number 3. Pinnacles National Park. Pinnacles National Park.
Let's go with Woods again.
Oh, great. I'm going to say fake on Pinnacles.
Fake on that one. David?
I'm going with him. Fake.
You both are wrong. That one, and I hadn't even heard of that one. That one is real in the state of California.
It's California. Yeah, you know where?
Yeah, more in the northern.
You're just part guessing. Of the, you don't know. Northern.
I don't, actually, because I'd never heard of it before. All right, here we go. Round number 4.
Okay.
Canyonlands National Park. Canyonlands.
That sounds fake, but I bet you it's real. Lizzie, what do you think?
I'm going to roll with your gut.
Okay, we'll go with my gut.
Gut was
fake.
Fake, but it's real?
Fake, but it's real.
What's the answer?
Real
or fake?
Let's see.
Fake.
Fake.
Been to that one. That one is in Utah and Colorado, so that's correct. So we are now 2 for 4. We go to round number 5. Great Sand Dunes National Park.
That's got to be. I think fake. What do you think?
I think it's real.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to real.
Let's go real.
Ooh. You know when you're driving, you're driving out toward Yuma?
Yeah.
I would have guessed that had to be. It's in Colorado. Not in California.
Idiot.
All right, that means gotta get these last two correct to qualify for the grand prize.
All right, we got it.
Great Basin National Park. Great Basin National Park. Real or fake in California?
I feel fake. What do you think, Woodsy?
Fake.
Fake.
We're going fake.
Final answer? It is fake. That one is in Utah.
All right, here we go.
Where the Great Salt Lake and everything is in the center of the country. All right, that all comes down to round 7 here. For the win.
Every week.
All the marbles. Real or fake, California National Park. Lassen Volcanic National Park.
Lassen.
Real or fake?
National Park. I think that would be real. What do you think, Lindsay? California?
I don't know. Real. Yeah, let's go real.
Going real.
Going real.
Going real, and you are...
Yes! You're right!
Hey,
Congratulations, yeah. Northern California. And you have qualified for our grand prize drawing. Congratulations on a tense, dramatic, and ultimately successful game of Real or Fake.
Now, I will not cheat at Take on Woods.
No?
I will 100% cheat at this one. I basically was waiting for the chat to tell me if that was real. And they did. So, just so you know.
I would have been wrong on both of those. I would have guessed fake on Lassen Volcanic National Park. And
that
also
was a
on
tough
Pinnacles.
One in that they were all real.
They're all national parks.
They are all real, yeah.
We got a lineup out, and it is interesting.
It's fascinating.
From what I hear.
Ooh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Let's tease that coming up.
Italy.
We also have the Don't Do This audio we talked about earlier with one of the talking heads. Not a baseball fan, apparently, or at least not a modern baseball fan.
Weird.
We get to that coming up next after a check of traffic with Vicky Pepper here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Woods made an executive decision during the break to push back Don't Do This to our next segment because the Padres lineup, as you mentioned, is out. And now I wish we had asked Mike Schilt about this because this is a little unexpected and worth some discussion. So we're going to stop down everything else and to give you the lineup and then discuss what it means possibly for the San Diego Padres. So here's what we've got today for the series finale against the Reds at Great American Ballpark coming up at 10:10 this morning. Leading off, Luis Arraez, but playing first base. Batting second, the designated hitter, Fernando Tatis Jr. Jurickson Profar batting third in left field. Jake Cronenworth playing second base and batting cleanup. Manny Machado at third, hitting fifth. David Peralta will take Tatis' spot in the outfield and bat sixth in right. Jackson Merrill in center, hitting seventh. Ha-Sung Kim playing shortstop and batting eighth. And, of course, with Matt Waldron on the mound, Kyle Higashioka doing the catching and batting ninth. So, it's the most notable thing here is the Arraez Cronenworth switch, because you could leave Jake at first and leave Arraez at second. That's where they played yesterday, and now today you're switching that around defensively. Clearly, that's a better alignment, right, for the Padres to have Jake at second and Arraez at first.
Yeah, you're stronger, definitely up the middle than you were yesterday. I looked at the sliders. I was talking to our buddy Josh this morning on Twitter, and he's like, I mean, Arraez literally is one of the worst defensive second basemen in baseball. His range is in the negative. Like, he's got like mine and Paulie's range, I think, at second, maybe a little bit better, but. I think it's pitcher dependent as well. Do you? Like, do you think to do with it as well? The fact that Waldron's on the
Padres
bump?
Have nothing but right-handed starters.
So yeah, that's true.
You're always going to have a left-handed heavy lineup.
Is a knuckleball
Is it different?
Is because it's different the knuckleball?
I don't know. That's what I maybe would have liked to have asked Mike Schilt about if we had known about this. I'm sure he'll shed some light after the game, and we'll see the lineups going forward if there's a pattern here, and whether it's specific to pitchers like Waldron, or if maybe he just decided this is a better way to go. Maybe they had a holistic meeting of general manager and staff, and they decided that. I think going up the middle with our better defensive player in Jake Cronenworth, as well as he's done at first base, and he's had a really good season defensively. You're downgrading now at first base, but they say that second base is a much more valuable position defensively. So if you have a better defender there, shouldn't you put him there?
I think the answer is yeah. I think the answer is yes. I don't know how long. Again, just from knowing Crony a little bit, I really don't think he cares. I really, honestly, we've asked him that question, and I believe him when he tells me I don't care where I play.
Now, remember the numbers. The numbers did not bear that out last year.
Correct.
He was at second when he was at second.
He was mashing.
No, I think he was terrible.
No,
he was mashing when he was everywhere else.
No,
right?
He was mashing at second.
He did mash at second.
He was not mashing at first.
Ah.
He was mashing at second. Mashing, and they moved him
to
first.
Right. So, you're right.
I think. This is what you have to do when a guy goes down. When Xander goes down, you're going to have to be, you have to move around, you have to be pliable. And the good news is our roster is constructed in such a way that we can do things like this. So I'm not overly concerned about it at all. Somebody said you should just DH your eyes. I think, from what I understand, he likes playing in the field. Just like a lot, he doesn't feel like a DH. At this point,
well, who would you play at second then if you're DHing Arise?
Solano, they could do so much, actually. They can mix it up a lot. Profar can play first. We've seen that. Solano can play second. I was texting with someone yesterday, and I said, wouldn't it be interesting if Fernando Tatis Jr., who, again, takes grounders at short, goes back and plays shortstop at some point? Because I know he's expressed interest in doing it.
Ha-Sung Kim could play
second base. Yeah, you got David Peralta. The thing I like about this, too, is that, again, I don't want to rip on Sugar. He's a fourth outfielder. But you don't feel that lineup with the addition of David Peralta, Ben, you don't feel like, oh, cool, here's that punt lineup that everyone likes to say that we're running out there. No, it's not. You basically have switched two guys' positions and added David Peralta instead of Azokar, and I think that's an upgrade, offensively at least.
Well, certainly with Peralta there, getting the option of having Tatis get a day off his feet, he definitely needs one. He's been playing out there almost every single day, running into fences and walls and throwing his body around. So it's more than probably overdue that Tatis at least got a DH day.
No doubt.
You're still going to need DH days for Manny Machado. He's been playing more consistently at third base, which is great. The defensive play he made the other day, just the smooth Manny into foul territory, throwing across his body, perfect throw across the diamond, is amazing, and you want him out there as much as possible, but he needs his days off as well. And I imagine you'll probably just kind of rotate through the lineup with guys getting DH days and putting in either Peralta or Solano as long as Bogaerts is down. And it's good because they are veteran guys, hopefully, who can perform and aren't over the hill. We don't know if David Peralta is still going to be a great hitter. He definitely wasn't terrific last year for the Dodgers, but he's put up numbers in the past, and in his career, what, 279 hitter, I think. You'd just love to see something like that, some kind of production around those numbers for David Peralta if he's going to have to be out there on a fairly consistent basis.
Yeah, I don't know if the people are asking, do you think this is permanent? I really don't know that you can say anything is permanent as it pertains.
If it works well today, it probably will continue.
They might ride it again.
Doesn't work for some reason, maybe they choose something else. Ha-Sung Kim is back in there. Right, he had the day off yesterday. He just has not been able to totally get going. And I haven't noticed anything different.
Not really.
Necessarily about
he's
swing.
A little better. He's playing a little better.
Well, yeah, he's hitting some line drives. He has, six homers. He's not, lost at the plate. He's just not putting up the kind of production that we started seeing the last couple of years out of Ha-Sung Kim. Maybe a day off will help him back into the lineup. And then there's the constant chorus of, why is Kyle Higashioka still getting starts? And I don't know how many times I have to say, you need a backup catcher. Someone has to be out there. Someone's got to catch Matt Waldron. They're obviously not asking Luis Campusano to do it. So you're going to see Higashioka out there pretty much every time Waldron pitches.
Yeah.
And he had some decent at-bats his last start, I thought.
He hit the ball hard, but listen, at the end of the day, if Arise, Tatis, Profar, Cronenworth, Machado, Peralta, Merrill, and Kim do what they're supposed to do, it really shouldn't matter what Kyle Higashioka does at the plate. You try to control, try to keep the running game in check a little bit if you can. You're not going to do any worse than Luis Camposano with that if you're Kyle Higashioka. And, you know, try
Higgy had 10 home runs the last two seasons in a strictly backup role for the New York Yankees.
In a much easier park to hit in, though.
True,
for sure.
But, you know.
But he's in Cincinnati.
I mean, he's bound to run into a couple here or there. He's got one. He's due for at least a few more at this season based on his career numbers. They're not using him differently necessarily than the Yankees were. He's got it in him to at least pop a few out. And, you know, he's not going to ever be an offensive star, but he's better than what I think we've seen so far offensively from Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah, again, it should not matter with the guys 1 through 8. It honestly should not matter in the slightest what he does. He needs to do his job today as a backup catcher, keep Waldron in the zone, keep Waldron dialed in, and, try to keep that knuckleball corralled. And that's really the best that he can do right now.
All right, we will come back. The postponed Don't Do This coming up next. Always a reminder, you can listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Covers everything. You can get all his pre- and post-game show news right there on his Inside San Diego Baseball podcast. You can find it at 973thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Sammy coming up at 9:10 this morning with his Eco Water SoCal pregame show, which means we've got just over 90 minutes remaining of Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 973 The Fam. This hour on Bennett Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Get more into the Xander Bogaerts injury coming up in just a couple of minutes. But get to our postponed by one segment edition of Don't Do This right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, now.
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
What is a moron?
A moron. It's a moron. Don't Do This on a Throwback Thursday is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco is some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Krafttaco.com. And I got to thank Tier 1 Jordan in North Carolina. Sent me the video yesterday. Reposted it. It's gone kind of viral around the country. So it is this week, the NCAA Golf Championships are taking place here in San Diego at the newly redesigned La Costa Omni La Costa Resort and Spa. And one of the teams that arrived on Monday, East Tennessee State University. And they flew in on a Delta flight to Lindbergh Field. And as they were pulling into the gate, they were taking video at their window. And they could see the baggage handlers for Delta just absolutely taking their golf clubs off the plane and just chucking them like onto the tarmac, like not taking any care at all, just landing right there on the hard concrete, just one after the other.
It's a golfer's nightmare, straight up.
Like
straight up.
And these
golfer's
guys
nightmare.
Are coming to participate in the NCAA championship, and they sent the tweet like, "Nice of Delta to handle our clubs with such care," and that gone viral around the country. You know, the airline industry already is not one of the most popular in the country to begin with. I will say, I heard from one of my friends at Goat Hill. He said the East Tennessee State University golf team was at Goat Hill at the range yesterday practicing, because it's not far from La Costa, probably near where they're staying. And he said they have been contacted by Delta. They want to make it right. They apologized for the video. I'm sure Delta's in, you know, PR scrambling mode here. No one wants to see. I get it. Being a baggage handler is not probably a fun job. It's tough, and you can't be gingerly, just gently taking every single bag, or it's going to take way too long, and you're going to be there for an hour and a half waiting for your bag to get there.
They're doing this like sport.
Yeah,
though.
They really are throwing them. Oh,
can they not just like unhitch that cart?
Pull the cart back to the deal. Like, work smarter, not harder. Pull the cart up and then lay it
on. Hurts my back just watching what
it really
doing,
does. Have you ever had your golf clubs damaged in a flight?
I don't think so.
My clubs have never been damaged. My bag, my Ben and Woods bag, my favorite bag that our buddy Jason got us from Callaway. It's so rad. The stand, they put something on top of it and it bent the stand in half. So when place it down, it falls. Which, hey, listen, Cadillac problems, man. Go get a new bag, whatever. You can't just replace that stand part, though. So that was kind of a bummer. I didn't raise a stink about it. I just wore it because that's what I do. Which is dumb. I probably could have gotten a new...
You could file a grievance and complain and go through the channels and however long that takes.
It's a custom bag, too.
Yeah,
so
it's nice.
You know, and it's not like I could just go buy another one. It was one of one. So, hey, it happens.
One of three.
One of three. Yeah, you got one and Paulie got one. That's exactly right. Yeah, one of three. Sorry. But no, it's a bummer. But hey, listen, at least they tried to make it right. This is pretty phenomenal audio. And like Ben said earlier, you never want to get to this point in when you're talking about watching sports. So Michael Wilbon of PTI was on with his buddy, Tony Kornheiser, and they were doing a little segment about exit velocity. And I guess you would consider that an advanced stat. At least it is to Michael Wilbon. Check this out.
Now, is it no deal? It angers me. And in talking about this and thinking about it, and I'm glad we're doing this topic, Tony. So let me ask you something. The velo, the exit velo, does it mean he's a better hitter than Tony Gwynn, who might have dribbled the frill through the infield in his day and hit about, 330 career and flirted with 400 once?
Pause.
Meaning a better hitter?
All right. So you already lose the argument with me because, again, stop comparing people to Tony Gwynn. Stop comparing pitchers of today to Nolan Ryan. If you take the unicorns of the game out of the game, it's going to be a better watch for you, right? It's going to be a better product for you to enjoy. If you why can't these guys go 165 pitches like old Hoss Radbourne used to do? Take those dudes out of your thinking, and this product will be a better product. Continue.
Meaning a better hitter than him? And so what? So what? He's a 260 hitter. So why do I give a damn about the exit velo? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess people need this, Tony, to become interested and more fascinated. And they go, oh, wow. Not only do I not go, oh, wow, it has started the ruination of watching sports for me. Numbers like this repeatedly and put up on the screen day in, day out. It has ruined it. Because people aren't concentrating on the fact that he is 260 instead of 330. They're concentrating on exit velo. That's just me. You're older than me and more crotchety than me. At least you used to be. How you feeling about it?
So they've been, and somebody made the point in the thread, they've been putting miles per hour on television for a long time. Like, you see how hard the pitcher's throwing.
I understand that some of the advanced metrics are a bit difficult to approach, like
that's
WRC plus, and you got to at least understand numbers. Exit velocity does not require an advanced degree to understand.
It requires eyesight.
Why that is important and is good for a hitter to hit the ball hard.
It's the first lesson I taught my t-ballers. I don't care where you hit it. Your job with the ball off the tee at 4 or 5 years old is to hit the ball
hard.
Now,
ultimately, yes, results are good, and you'd rather have a higher average than a higher exit velocity. But even Michael Wilbon must understand that if you had a hitter and he hit 10 absolute screaming lineouts,
115 miles an hour,
and you had a hitter who had 10 just bloops and they happened to fall in, yes, the hitter with the bloops has a much better batting average and the numbers look better. Which one would you want going forward, though? The guy who's hitting screaming liners every time?
Or
the guy
snorts.
Who's just getting lucky and the ball is falling where the defenders are not? You want to go with the guy who's hitting the screaming liners every time. That's simple. It's intuitive. I mean, you're telling me essentially you're not an intuitive person if you're not understanding why exit velocity is a cool and important stat to understand why that helps being a good hitter.
How would that not be interesting to somebody to go, oh my God, the guy hit that ball 100. We love when athletes do things we can't do. Caitlin Clark hit a three the other night. From about 80 feet, it looked like. And I went, oh my God, insane.
Does he also go, I don't need to know that Mike Trout hit that one 437. Did it go over the wall
or did
it not go over the wall?
It's so, the generalization.
I mean, it's cool to see how far it went. Like, he hit that one 480 feet. That's amazing. It's more amazing than a guy who hit a wall scraper at 342 feet.
So, I mean, you can imagine, dude. He got dragged in this. And the main gist of everyone saying, basically, nah, man, nonstop shows like this, with the talking head punditry, as well as the constant gambling emphasis. Now, that I can get behind. It's not going to ruin baseball for me. It's not. And there's nothing they could do to make me not watch baseball. You've got me for life. You always will. That I understand that. But, you know, people are like, how about the sports betting odds push through your network, ESPN? That's basically what everybody is saying. All they're telling you, man, is the guy is putting the barrel on the ball. And that's a good thing inherently. It's going to lead to better results if you hit the ball hard. And it's true. It's true. I told you about my friend that played in the Rockies organization, and they graded them on barrels. They didn't grade them on hits. How many barrels did you catch today? Four? Great. You had an A. Oh, you got zero barrels, but you got four hits. You got a D.
And by the way, you know why Luis Arraez is such a good hitter? Because he hits the barrel.
Hits the barrel. That's right. That's right.
He may not swing hard,
right,
but he's getting good line drive action off of his balls more often than not.
But like hitting the ball hard and knowing how hard they hit it would never bother me. I think that's awesome. Like, oh, God, I scorched that ball. It's such a generalization, and out of all the things to choose about baseball that makes you not want to watch anymore, that's the one that they put 121 exit velo up there. That's awesome to me.
All right, finally, some doo-doo this here on a Thursday.
DD mega doo-doo.
And I thought this was a very cool moment, keeping it in the San Diego Padres family. Last night for the single-A Lake Elsinore Storm, not only did shortstop Wyatt Hoffman hit his first home run of the season, also had the walk-off winning sacrifice fly to lift the Storm to a victory. Wyatt is a shortstop in the Padres organization and does happen to be the son of Trevor Hoffman. Now, I don't think he's considered like one of the top prospects on the team. He's a 25-year-old now. Every organization needs organizational guys, though, and it's cool to see Wyatt coming through last night for Lake Elsinore. You know, would he be on the team if he wasn't Trevor Hoffman's son? I don't know. You need players like that in your organization who understand what being a Padre is all about. And, you know, if he keeps getting opportunities, who knows if maybe there's a chance for him to move up in the organization. But I thought last night was cool seeing Wyatt not only get a home run, but also the walk-off sacrifice fly game winner for the Storm.
Yeah, hell yeah. Love it.
That's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but the bad news for Xander Bogaerts with the MRI coming back yesterday showing that it is indeed a fracture in his left shoulder, and he's going to need an extended period on the injured list before he could return. We talked to Mike Schilt this morning. He doesn't know exactly still how long that might be. Xander said 2 to 3 months when he spoke in the clubhouse to Kevin Acey and others. He said, I'm a quick healer. I expect to be back fast, but you can't ever really predict that. Even if you've been a quick healer on other things in the past, a broken bone's a broken bone. And it's going to take however long it's going to take, and have to get back into playing shape and get your swing back in shape. So let's not expect to see Xander again. Well, we're here near the end of May, probably late August to September.
Oh, that,
probably
that long.
Yeah, that's 2 to 3 months. End of the summer is what they're saying. So
end of July, maybe.
And that would be 2 months. That would be fast.
I read 2 months.
He said 2 to 3. If they told him 2 to 3, I would lean more toward the 3.
Okay.
That's just getting healthy. Then you got to get back at least, you know, a week or two to
timing and whatnot.
You know, go back, do a minor league rehab stint. But to see him back on the field in the San Diego Padres, I would expect late August into the last month of the season. Now, that is enough time that you can still play a major role and contribute to the San Diego Padres here in 2024, especially if the team's in a pennant race and goes to the playoffs. You could be a playoff star in October. You know, have a month to get ready and hopefully be in you know, prime shape when the Padres get to the end of the season. They just have to still be there by the time he gets back. So we've talked about the different ways that they can manage. Today's lineup is certainly one of them.
Yeah, bumping, they've got players to do it.
Yeah, bumping Jake Cronenworth over to second base and playing Arise at first base, which they're doing today. Will that be the regular situation? We'll see what Mike Schilt is going to do to make up for Xander Bogaerts not being in the lineup going forward.
And, you know, guys need to step up. And again, I know he didn't contribute a ton this year offensively, but he was, again, coming out of it a little bit, did show some signs of pop lately as well. So yeah, you're going to have to figure out a way to make up for that. And nice to see some of the guys last night that we needed to step up, Benny. We've been beating the tables for it. They did. They stepped up. Some extra base hits as well. Some clutch knocks. It was good to see, and that's exactly what we need.
When they're hitting, you always wonder, why aren't they not hitting in other games? I know it's baseball, but
yeah,
you know, they take such good swings and hit so many line drives when it's a game like last night. It's hard to believe it's the same team that then goes two games without scoring a single run. Like, what? What's the difference? I know you guys have those hits in you. We see them all the time. They have, what's the stat on this road trip alone? Padres have 4 double-digit hit games out of the 6 that they've played so far. Of course, the other 2 games, they didn't score at all. It's the feast or famine San Diego Padres offense that tends to drive you crazy. And I guess, you know, it's better than constant famine like some offenses where, we get 2 and then we get 3 and then we get 1 and then we get This hour on Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Get more into the Xander Bogaerts injury coming up in just a couple of minutes. But get to our postponed by one segment edition of Don't Do This right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, Nancy.
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
What is a moron?
A moron. The moron. Don't do this on a Throwback Thursday is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco is some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Crafttaco.com. And I got to thank Tier 1 Jordan in North Carolina. Sent me the video yesterday. Reposted it. It's gone kind of viral around the country. So it is this week, the NCAA Golf Championships are taking place here in San Diego at the newly redesigned La Costa Omni La Costa Resort and Spa. And one of the teams that arrived on Monday, East Tennessee State University. And they flew in on a Delta flight to Lindbergh Field. And as they were pulling into the gate, they were taking video at their window. And they could see the baggage handlers for Delta just absolutely taking their golf clubs off the plane and just chucking them like onto the tarmac, like not taking any care at all, just landing right there on the hard concrete, just one after the other.
It's a golfer's nightmare, straight up.
Like
straight up.
And these
golfer's
guys
nightmare.
Are coming to participate in the NCAA championship, and they sent the tweet like, "Nice of Delta to handle our clubs with such care," and that gone viral around the country. You know, the airline industry already is not one of the most popular in the country to begin with. I will say, I heard from one of my friends at Goat Hill. He said the East Tennessee State University golf team was at Goat Hill at the range yesterday practicing, because it's not far from La Costa, probably near where they're staying. And he said they have been contacted by Delta. They want to make it right. They apologized for the video. I'm sure Delta's in, you know, PR scrambling mode here. No one wants to see. I get it. being a baggage handler is not probably a fun job. It's tough, and you can't be gingerly, just gently taking every single bag, or it's going to take way too long, and you're going to be there for an hour and a half waiting for your bag to get there.
They're doing this like sport.
Yeah,
though.
They really are throwing them. Oh,
can they not just like unhitch that cart?
Pull the cart back to the deal. Like, work smarter, not harder. Pull the cart up and then lay it
on my back. Just watching, what
it really
doing,
does. Have you ever had your golf clubs damaged in a flight?
I don't think so.
My clubs have never been damaged. My bag, my Ben and Woods bag, my favorite bag that our buddy Jason got us from Callaway. It's so rad. The stand, they put something on top of it and it bent the stand in half. So when I place it down, it falls. Which, hey, listen, Cadillac problems, man. Go get a new bag, whatever. You can't just replace that stand part, though. So that was kind of a bummer. I didn't raise a stink about it. I just wore it because that's what I do. Which is dumb. I probably could have gotten a new...
You could file a grievance and complain and go through the channels and however long that takes.
It's a custom bag, too.
Yeah,
so
it's nice.
You know, and it's not like I could just go buy another one. It was one of one. So, hey, it happens.
One of three.
One of three. Yeah, you got one and Paulie got one. That's exactly right. Yeah, one of three. Sorry. But no, it's a bummer. But hey, listen, at least they tried to make it right. This is pretty phenomenal audio. And like Ben said earlier, you never want to get to this point in when you're talking about watching sports. So Michael Wilbon of PTI was on with his buddy, Tony Kornheiser, and they were doing a little segment about exit velocity. And I guess you would consider that an advanced stat. At least it is to Michael Wilbon. Check this out.
Now, is it no deal? It angers me. And in talking about this and thinking about it, and I'm glad we're doing this topic, Tony. So let me ask you something. The velo, the exit velo, does it mean he's a better hitter than Tony Gwynn, who might have dribbled the frew through the infield in his day and hit about, 330 career and flirted with 400 once?
Pause.
Meaning a better hitter?
All right. So you already lose the argument with me because, again, stop comparing people to Tony Gwynn. Stop comparing pitchers of today to Nolan Ryan. If you take the unicorns of the game out of the game, it's going to be a better watch for you, right? It's going to be a better product for you to enjoy. If you why can't these guys go 165 pitches like old Hoss Radbourne used to do? Take those dudes out of your thinking, and this product will be a better product. Continue.
Meaning a better hitter than him? And so what? So what? He's a 260 hitter. So why do I give a damn about the exit velo? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess people need this, Tony, to become interested and more fascinated. And they go, oh, wow. Not only do I not go, oh, wow, it has started the ruination of watching sports for me. Numbers like this repeatedly and put up on the screen day in, day out. It has ruined it. Because people aren't concentrating on the fact that he is 260 instead of 330. They're concentrating on exit velo. That's just me. You're older than me and more crotchety than me. At least you used to be. How you feeling about it?
So they've been, and somebody made the point in the thread, they've been putting miles per hour on television for a long time. Like, you see how hard the pitcher's throwing.
I understand that some of the advanced metrics are a bit difficult to approach, like
that's
WRC plus, and you got to at least understand numbers. Exit velocity does not require an advanced degree to understand.
It requires eyesight.
Why that is important and is good for a hitter to hit the ball hard.
It's the first lesson I taught my t-ballers. I don't care where you hit it. Your job with the ball off the tee at 4 or 5 years old is to hit the ball
hard.
Now,
ultimately, yes, results are good, and you'd rather have a higher average than a higher exit velocity. But even Michael Wilbon must understand that if you had a hitter and he hit 10 absolute screaming lineouts,
115 miles an hour,
and you had a hitter who had 10 just bloops and they happened to fall in, yes, the hitter with the bloops has a much better batting average and the numbers look better. Which one would you want going forward, though? The guy who's hitting screaming liners every time?
Or
the guy
snorts.
Who's just getting lucky and the ball is falling where the defenders are not? You want to go with the guy who's hitting the screaming liners every time. That's simple. It's intuitive. I mean, you're telling me essentially you're not an intuitive person if you're not understanding why exit velocity is a cool and important stat to understand why that helps being a good hitter.
How would that not be interesting to somebody to go, oh my God, the guy hit that ball 100. We love when athletes do things we can't do. Caitlin Clark hit a three the other night. From about 80 feet, it looked like. And I went, oh my God, insane.
Does he also go, I don't need to know that Mike Trout hit that one 437. Did it go over the wall
or did
it not go over the wall?
It's so, the generalization.
I mean, it's cool to see how far it went. Like, he hit that one 480 feet. That's amazing. It's more amazing than a guy who hit a wall scraper at 342 feet.
So, I mean, you can imagine, dude. He got dragged in this. And the main gist of everyone saying, basically, nah, man, nonstop shows like this, with the talking head punditry, as well as the constant gambling emphasis. Now, that I can get behind. It's not going to ruin baseball for me. It's not. And there's nothing they could do to make me not watch baseball. You've got me for life. You always will. That I understand that. But, you know, people are like, how about the sports betting odds push through your network, ESPN? That's basically what everybody is saying. All they're telling you, man, is the guy is putting the barrel on the ball. And that's a good thing inherently. It's going to lead to better results if you hit the ball hard. And it's true. It's true. I told you about my friend that played in the Rockies organization, and they graded them on barrels. They didn't grade them on hits. How many barrels did you catch today? Four? Great. You had an A. Oh, you got zero barrels, but you got four hits. You got a D.
And by the way, you know why Luis Arraez is such a good hitter? Because he hits the barrel.
Hits the barrel. That's right. That's right.
He may not swing hard.
Right.
But he's getting good line drive action off of his balls more often than not.
But, like, hitting the ball hard and knowing how hard they hit it would never bother me. I think that's awesome. Like, oh, God, I scorched that ball. It's such a generalization, and out of all the things to choose about baseball that makes you not want to watch anymore, that's the one that they put 121 exit velo up there. That's awesome to me.
All right, finally, some doo-doo this here on a Thursday.
DD mega doo-doo.
And I thought this was a very cool moment, keeping it in the San Diego Padres family. Last night for the single-A Lake Elsinore Storm, not only did shortstop Wyatt Hoffman hit his first home run of the season, also had the walk-off winning sacrifice fly to lift the Storm to a victory. Wyatt is a shortstop in the Padres organization and does happen to be the son of Trevor Hoffman. Now, I don't think he's considered like one of the top prospects on the team. He's a 25-year-old now. Every organization needs organizational guys, though, and it's cool to see Wyatt coming through last night for Lake Elsinore. You know, would he be on the team if he wasn't Trevor Hoffman's son? I don't know. You need players like that in your organization who understand what being a Padre is all about. And, you know, if he keeps getting opportunities, who knows if maybe there's a chance for him to move up in the organization. But I thought last night was cool seeing Wyatt not only get a home run, but also the walk-off sacrifice fly game winner for the Storm.
Yeah, hell yeah. Love it.
That's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but the bad news for Xander Bogaerts with the MRI coming back yesterday showing that it is indeed a fracture in his left shoulder, and he's going to need an extended period on the injured list before he could return. We talked to Mike Schilt this morning. He doesn't know exactly still how long that might be. Xander said 2 to 3 months when he spoke in the clubhouse to Kevin Acey and others. He said, I'm a quick healer. I expect to be back fast, but you can't ever really predict that. Even if you've been a quick healer on other things in the past, a broken bone's a broken bone. And it's going to take however long it's going to take, and have to get back into playing shape and get your swing back in shape. So let's not expect to see Xander again. Well, we're here near the end of May, probably late August to September.
Oh, that,
probably
that long.
Yeah, that's 2 to 3 months. End of the summer is what they're saying. So
end of July, maybe.
And that would be 2 months. That would be fast.
I read 2 months.
He said 2 to 3. If they told him 2 to 3, I would lean more toward the 3.
Okay.
That's just getting healthy. Then you got to get back at least, you know, a week or two to
timing and whatnot.
You know, go back, do a minor league rehab stint. But to see him back on the field in the San Diego Padres, I would expect late August into the last month of the season. Now, that is enough time that you can still play a major role and contribute to the San Diego Padres here in 2024, especially if the team's in a pennant race and goes to the playoffs. You could be a playoff star in October. You know, have a month to get ready and hopefully be in you know, prime shape when the Padres get to the end of the season. They just have to still be there by the time he gets back. So we've talked about the different ways that they can manage. Today's lineup is certainly one of them.
Yeah, bumping, they've got players to do it.
Yeah, bumping Jake Cronenworth over to second base and playing Arise at first base, which they're doing today. Will that be the regular situation? We'll see what Mike Schilt is going to do to make up for Xander Bogaerts not being in the lineup going forward.
And, you know, guys need to step up. And again, I know he didn't contribute a ton this year offensively, but he was, again, coming out of it a little bit, did show some signs of pop lately as well. So yeah, you're going to have to figure out a way to make up for that. And nice to see some of the guys last night that we needed to step up, Benny. We've been beating the tables for it. They did. They stepped up. Some extra base hits as well. Some clutch knocks. It was good to see, and that's exactly what we need.
When they're hitting, you always wonder, why aren't they not hitting in other games? I know it's baseball, but
yeah,
you know, they take such good swings and hit so many line drives when it's a game like last night. It's hard to believe it's the same team that then goes two games without scoring a single run. Like, what? What's the difference? I know you guys have those hits in you. We see them all the time. They have, what's the stat on this road trip alone? Padres have 4 double-digit hit games out of the 6 that they've played so far. Of course, the other 2 games, they didn't score at all. It's the feast or famine San Diego Padres offense that tends to drive you crazy. And I guess, you know, it's better than constant famine like some offenses where, we get 2 and then we get 3 and then we get 1 and then we get shut out. I mean, you'd rather, I guess, get 0 and then score 7 and 0 and then score 11. But it is weird and very difficult to understand why the Padres have such big fluctuation in terms of their production at the plate.
I mean, it hasn't been that tough other than really the superstars. Not there hasn't been a lot of production from Manny and Tatis, and you know, when those guys produce like they did last night, it's, and Luis Arraez obviously setting the table with 4 hits, driving in 2 runs as well, and Jerickson Profar continuing on his tear. If those guys are just average, really, if Manny and Tatis are just up to their career averages, man, we are in such good shape as a team. I love this bench. I love the additions. I think Peralta can help. I think all these guys can help. Campusano moving down in the order. He came through last night. You know, guys are getting hits. Tyler Wade gets a chance to start last night. You know, gets 2 hits. It's a lot of guys are doing some good things right now. You got to just stay consistent and win this ball game today. Who's on the bump for Cincinnati?
Frankie Montas.
Frankie Montas. That's right. Right-hander Frankie Montas.
Yeah, his numbers haven't been great. He's been on the injured list for part of this season. And Eno, who we're going to talk to in our next hour, had his new pitcher rankings coming out. And there's actually some good news when it comes to today's starter, Matt Waldron. I'll let kind of Eno explain why things have been looking up for Matt Waldron lately. Michael King as well, after yesterday's start. So we'll talk to Eno and get inside the numbers coming up at 8:35 this morning in our next hour. A couple of just quick breaking basketball stories this morning. The Cleveland Cavaliers have fired J.B. Bickerstaff, their head coach, after their playoff exit. So Bickerstaff is out as coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, the city of Toronto has been awarded a WNBA expansion team as that league is trying to capitalize on what has been incredible ratings and the Caitlin Clark phenomenon. Now, she has yet to win a game yet. In the WNBA. I think she dropped to 0-5 yesterday, so it's been a bit of a rough start, but they are still capitalizing on all those numbers. So, a couple of news this morning. We'll come back. We got one more full hour as we get you ready for Padres baseball ahead this morning with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.